Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You all listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Man, I got something I want to share with you today. I was in the gym this morning, and trainer Lee Haney's son sent him a text. And he sent him a text this morning of a dude in the gym lifting up huge weights, dumbbells, doing a bench press. Like, you know, just huge dumbbells, you know, stuff I ain't doing, you know, 100 some pounds. I'm not really sure. It was huge. I've never seen dumbbells this big. And the man was pressing them. And Lee's son took a picture of him. And he sent this to his father this morning. His father shared it with me. I want to share it with y'all. Because, man, I can't tell you how it's explained so much of your life. And when he showed the man lifting this excessive weight in the gym, he said, "Wow, Pop, look at this dude right here." And he says, the caption he put under it was, "Don't pray for it to be easier. Pray to be stronger. Don't pray for it to be easier. Pray for you to be stronger." Ain't that cold? See, I was thinking about that as soon as he said it. I said, man, I got to go on the radio. I got to tell everybody what I see now. Don't pray for it to be easier. Pray for you to be stronger. Okay, let me tell you how important that is. Now, I just heard it that way today, and I'm sharing it with you immediately because you know what that has? It's going to help me a lot because oftentimes I've done it indirectly, and then sometimes I've done it all the wrong. Sometimes I've actually prayed for it to be stronger, but I've also prayed sometimes for it to be easier. I have done that and been guilty of it myself. But from now on, after hearing that, I'm changing my prayer because, see, you can't have it both ways. You can't be strong and weak at the same time. You're either going to be strong or you're going to be weak. Now, if you keep asking God to make it easier, what you are not asking him for is for you to be able to handle whatever happens. So the next thing that come along that you ain't worked your muscles on to prepare you for, that's going to sink you too. So what I learned by that is sometimes I got to change my prayer too. Now, I do most of the time, but I'm a human being, and sometimes I just want it to go away. But no, what I really need to pray for is the strength all the time to deal with whatever besets me, whatever comes my way. Because to become successful, and we've talked about this how many times, it's hard. So since knowing it's going to be hard, why not ask for the strength to handle that? See, stop praying for weaker moments. Stop praying for it to be easier. Stop asking God to make your way plain and easy. Okay, now what? Now you ain't worked your muscles out to learn how to handle nothing. I was at it this morning. I put a little more weight on it. Lee said, wow, man, you up in here this morning. In order to grow, I got to change. And you can't change if you're going to stay the same. You can't keep picking up the same 40-pound dumbbells and you want some more results. You're going to keep getting it. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. You cannot grow without the change. So when we're talking to God and we're asking God to make it easy for us, where the growth at? Where the change at? No, you got to ask God to make you stronger, not to make the situation weaker. I'm changing my prayers, man. I'm going at him now with just make me strong enough to handle whatever happened, whatever come my way. Give me the strength to handle it. And now, whatever I see in front of me that I'm trying to go after that's going to require more, give me the strength to do that too. Help me be a stronger man. Help me be a stronger person. Help me be a stronger woman, a stronger boy, a stronger girl, a stronger student, a stronger boss, a stronger employee, a stronger leader, a stronger follower. Give me that. Give me strength to do that. Stop asking for it to be simple and easy and paved the way. What you want, man? The road to success is always under construction. Always. It ain't ever paved and smooth and easy. Look here, man. Go out there today, try to be successful. See what you're going to run into. Man, it's orange barrels, it's workers, it's detours. It's got craters in the road with no warning signs on it. That's how hard it is to be successful. The road to success is always under construction. It ain't finna smooth out for you. You got to ask God for strength. Be what you're supposed to be. Now, let's look at here. When you make a mistake, and you're going to make them, we all do. We fall down, but we get up. A saint is just a sinner who fell down, but he didn't stay there. That's all a saint is. All these Christians running their mouth with you about how fired up and saved they are and all this shit. Got all that. But them people make mistakes all the time. All the time. And see, the moment we as Christian people start telling people the truth about being a Christian, more people can get interested in it. But if you're going to tell everybody this lie that you're over here living this perfect life and everything, and ever since you came to God, your life been smooth and you don't have no, and he done took all your pains away. What? 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 Who are you? Where that life at? You talking about heaven now, ain't you? But I heard you had to die to go there. So what you really talking about? Come on, man. I'm talking to the cat that's in some real pain right now. That's in some real trouble right now. The dude is at the crossroad right now. The dude has been struggling and dealing with it for a long time. I'm talking to the cat that's out there been trying to figure out what's wrong, man. Why I can't seem to get it right. That's who I'm talking to. I'm saying come over here and give God a try. Come over here with your imperfect self, with your imperfect ways, and watch him change some things about you. Watch him give you the strength. See what he did for me. See, best way I can do is just tell you what happened to me. See, what it did for me was, it ain't so much. He just took me and took how I was and made me better with it. I'm still an aggressive man. I'm probably not going to ever stop being aggressive. But he took that aggression and he started shaping it. Now, for the first 12 minutes in the morning, be aggressive about me. Be aggressive about the feelings you got towards me, your father, your leader, your God, your savior. Be aggressive, man. Tell people how you made it, Steve. Aggressively. Since you're aggressive and you've been aggressive, I made you. Be aggressive with that. Now, since you like to tell it like it is, Steve, then tell the truth of how it really is, how I do for you, what I done for you. Tell everybody you know what I done for you in a plain, simple way so they can feel you. See, he ain't changed me. He just made me better with it. When you get loud, hey, man, every now and then get loud for me. You know, you want to tell some jokes, you real funny? Tell something funny. But let it be so more people can hear. See, that's what he did for me. So for all you cats out there that's scared to come on over here because you scared it's going to change you, turn you into some little punk, or you got to get sissied up or something like that. And please, before you start emailing me, that's not an anti-gay remark. I'm talking about there's a lot of dudes out there that just don't want to punk up and sissy up because they scared that what it's going to do. Now, you got to come over here and be this little meek lamb led off to slaughter every Sunday. That ain't what it is over here. God looking for men. God looking for real soldiers out here. See, everybody I talk to don't want to hear about Christianity. So I ain't got nothing for them then. How about that? How about that? I'm cool with that. See, every Christian ain't turning the other cheek. I ain't there. You slap me, man. I'm sorry. I ain't there yet. But see, I'm a work in progress. He ain't through with me yet. I might get to the point where I can turn my other cheek. I doubt it. I ain't praying for that one. I'm for real about you, man. I'll be praying for more strength. So when you do slap me, when I come back around, I come back nice, hard. You slap me, you won't slap me twice. I can promise you that. Where am I going with this, Steve? Huh? I'm sorry, y'all. Just remember what I told you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Well, this is it. This show this morning is dedicated to all rubbish workers.
Rubbish?
Oh.
Rubbish.
I don't even know what that is.
Recycle.
Oh, okay.
And rubbish. Garbage men.
You don't know.
Yeah. Come on now.
Okay.
Trash right. Collector.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of my homies from Cleveland on the back of trucks been riding for years, shirt open.
Why?
Yeah, sure, because they stomachs, they don't button. They can't button their shirts.
Yeah.
They can't button them?
No, they done outgrew their uniform.
Oh, okay. I thought it was some
sense. One of my boys say the reason his partner, he ride on back of a dump truck with his boy. The reason his partner didn't gain so much weight, he say, because he eat the garbage.
That's nasty.
Now, you know it ain't true, but he back there. I'm telling you, though, he got to be back here eating his garbage.
Because he
just gaining damn weight back here. He's back here eating his garbage. Man, I ain't ate no garbage, man. Well, what the hell are you eating here?
Yeah. So
it's the beginning of week 3 for me. I lost 2 pounds last week.
Woo!
I'm down 5 now.
Okay,
well, I lost 3 the first week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to begin, I lost 2, so I'm down 5.
Well, go ahead.
It's midweek.
Congratulations.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're doing good, man.
It's me. I think I call it because I played in Sid's golf tournament the other day, so kind of threw me off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's home day.
How was that, by
man,
the way?
I had a good time with Sid. Sid, good. That's my boy. He actually has celebrities at his golf tournament. At the Steve Harvey Celebrity Golf Tournament, I'm the only celebrity.
And me? Hey, I'll be there.
Say what you just said again, because I don't think he heard you.
Sid had celebrities at his golf tournament.
Right, right.
At my golf tournament, I'd be the only celebrity there.
Right, I don't think you know.
Okay, then what happened?
And I see it, and me, because I'd be at your tournament, too.
Say it again. I'm sure he didn't hear you.
Shirley, you set me up for that.
Because you walked right into that
Shirley, second one. I ain't even do this with you this morning.
Go ahead, Shirley, start some mess. That's all you did.
I showed this. Dog, I didn't even hear that. I don't even know where that came from.
So you just tune him out automatically?
Yeah.
Well, I knew not.
Either way,
I didn't get in that.
It's pretty bad.
Hey, how's Ryan Seacrest doing on the show with Kelly?
He's better than her.
I haven't.
Wow, man.
I'm sorry, that just flew out of my mind. Wow,
that's for your from your celebrity nephew.
Well, he's good. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you got to think before you speak.
I mean, I love Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. He's just a consummate pro. So,
but I'm going to tell you something else. He's a really cool guy in real life, too.
I've never met him.
He is a really, really cool guy. Ryan Seacrest is a really, really cool dude, man.
I love him. I saw him one day, my girlfriend and I, he was driving down in our neighborhood, down the street in his convertible, and we were like, Ryan Seacrest, hey. He turned around. He said, hey, ladies. I thought that was
yeah,
so cool from
what's
him.
What's up? Y'all want
like,
to
hey,
ride?
Ladies.
Y'all want to get in, learn yourself a little something?
All right, it's time for something funny. When we come back, Melania Trump in the news again. She's done it again. Roscoe Wallace has something to say about it. All right.
Ain't no problem.
We'll be back.
He loves this.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Here go Roscoe.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, here we go. Social media sites say she's at it again. I'm talking about the First Lady, Melania Trump. She is accused of plagiarizing former First Lady Michelle Obama. Soon after the violence at the rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, Mrs. Trump tweeted August 12th, quote, "Our country encourages freedom of speech, but let communication without hate in our hearts. No good comes from violence. Hashtag Charlottesville." However, no sooner had the First Lady put out her tweet than a meme started claiming that Melania's response on Twitter was copied from a comment made by former First Lady Michelle Obama last year. Although it's still unproven, the First Lady actually, that she actually stole the former First Lady's words, some are calling Melania Trump a repeat offender. You remember the first time she was accused of plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech last year in July at the RNC. What is Bond? Sounds like he's here.
He's here.
How come everybody? Tessin. Mic check. Mic check. What's going on, baby? Hey, what's going on, Tommy?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
Ain't little baby ain't nothing going on. Junior.
Roscoe, my hero,
what
man.
What a little one. Right there. Hey, what's up, Shirley?
Hey, Roscoe. Welcome back. Baby? How you doing?
Yeah, we're good. Hey, golly.
Hey, Roscoe, you just popped up, huh?
Pop up, you know what? Why I got to act like I ain't Steve?
Pull back that curtain on us.
Yeah, what the hell? What the hell? What the hell you want me to do? Ease out? Yeah, Steve here, I'm here. He just go like, what were y'all talking about to me going?
Well, you know, First Lady was accused last year at the RNC of plagiarizing one of Michelle Obama's speeches.
Oh, yeah, I
remember
heard
she
that.
Said, my word is bond. Yeah, remember yeah, all
no,
that?
No, where you get that from in Yugoslavia?
Hey, now don't talk like that.
Yeah. My word bond. Come on, dog.
Right. So
that's like if she say, come on, dog.
Right.
Where that come from?
Right, Roscoe.
My word is bond. Now you ain't no moolah.
Yeah. Now they're saying she's done it again. Come on now. I don't know.
I got homies in the nation say that all the time. My word is bond. You sure ain't in F-O-I.
F-O-I.
You ain't in F-O-I to M-I-O.
Has that ever happened to you, though? I mean, what I know that? You've written a lot of songs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, everybody played Ride Me. You know, ain't nothing new.
What? Like who?
Everybody
what?
Who? Hell, the question is, who ain't?
I know. Stevie Wonder, one of the greatest writers of all time.
Oh, man. Stop. Steve all the time Stop. Always something Stop. Takes something from me.
What did he take from you?
He took something from you, too?
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote that whole love song, Ass.
No.
Yeah, he stole ass from me.
First of all, it's
he stole.
First of all, let's get that clear, Roscoe, what please. That? It's as. A-S. As.
Know what I said? Stevie Wonder stole ass from the ass.
He stole what?
Ass.
Ass.
Sing
as
the song.
Around the sun, there's no sheep revolving.
Ass.
And the rosebuds know to bloom in early May.
Yeah, that's yes. The song.
Just as kindness knows no shame.
Beautiful. Man.
Know through all your joy and pain.
Uh-huh.
I'll be loving you always.
Uh-huh. So yeah, take it away,
you're
Carla.
You're gonna sit up here and say,
"Go ahead, girl, get
up."
You have something in common with First Lady Michelle Obama when it comes to plagiarizing. That someone is taking your stuff and not giving you credit, and you're saying musical genius Stevie Wonder jacked your song as one of his all-time classics.
Didn't it sound like I wrote it? Where it come from, Carla? You always hate. You always got something to say about something I got to say. And I just told you I wrote a song. I wrote an ad for him.
It's ads, Roscoe.
Songs in the key of life?
I ain't write songs in the key of life. I wrote ads, though.
When did you write it?
I wrote ads in 1949.
I believe him. I believe
him. 1949.
That's right.
Do you even know?
I believe
know
you wrote that ass, too, though.
Hell yeah, I know Stevie.
Do you even know Stevie Wonder?
Hell no. Yeah. And Stevie know me.
Stevie Wonder
when did
knows
you write
you?
It?
Hey, well, he know me. He know my boy.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he
my
don't
God.
Know you when he see you.
No, he ain't never seen you.
So you met him
So,
before.
Like, you know, it ain't like I could be standing there. He could pick me out of the line. That ain't what I'm saying. But he do know my boy.
Know your voice, though.
Yeah. How did you meet? How did you meet him?
You know, it wasn't him that I met.
Oh, well, who was it?
No. I met his daddy.
Oh, you met his daddy.
Oh, you met Stevie Wonder's dad?
What was his name?
Blunder.
Blunder Wonder?
Blunder Wonder. Yeah.
Making this up, Roscoe.
The hell no, I ain't got time to make it up. I got to get all this in. So I met Blunder back in 49. I wrote ass then.
Yeah.
The ass was really a civil rights song.
Oh, what?
It was a what?
I thought it was the ultimate love song.
It is ultimate love. We switched some of the words, but it was originally a civil rights song.
Really?
Let me hear how you wrote it.
What do you mean?
As the sun revolves around the earth, no, she revolving.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the Ku Klux Klan is standing in the way.
What?
Just as kindness knows no shame.
Come on.
White folk always bring in pain. But I'll be getting rid of you one day. And that's how I wrote it right there. Yeah. I wrote it. I wrote it. I
want to hear
it. I wrote it just like that. It was an anti-Klan song.
Oh.
I wrote it, and then I just changed the word when I met Blunder. I told Blunder, and Blunder said, well, I got a son. He blind. He needs some help writing songs.
Because I was going to ask you, how did Stevie get it? Stevie
got a song. Stevie said, can we change a few things, Rocco? I said, a code we can.
He said a what?
A code we can. Because it was ass when I wrote it. He took an S off of it. That's the first thing. I wrote it as ass because that's all we was doing was passing out in 1949.
We got to go, Roscoe. The prank phone call.
Yeah, Steven said, I can say it, but we're going to have to take one of these S's off here.
Run that prank coming up when we come back.
Go ahead. It was ass when I wrote it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back.
Bed bugs, baby! Everybody got a bed bug every now and then, and here it is. Bed bugs.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to speak to Shanice. She's not here right now. I'll take a message. Do you know when she's coming back? Nah, is this a business call or something? Nah, this personal. I need to talk to her immediately. Nah, you need to talk to me. This a man. Who is this? This is Brandon. Who are you? I'm Ernest, man. But how do you know Shanice? I got a bit of a situation here, man. And it's basically a financial situation that I'm owed some money from her. So I kind of need to talk to her about getting this money. Is totally disrupted my whole apartment, and I need to actually see about talking to her about getting this whole problem taken care of.
What's the situation? What's going on?
I mean, I'm basically right now I'm $2,500 in the rears due to Shanice, and I need to see if she's gonna be able to pay me for the situation or what, you know.
Do my girl owe you money?
She owes me $2,500.
$2,500 for what? I don't even know who you are, first of all. So, what's up with the $2,500?
Man, first of all, my name is Brandon. Okay. And I've been knowing Shanice probably for the last 3 or 4 months now. Okay. So here you want to know it all in a nutshell is it's like this. Shanice's been coming through. Okay, for the last 3 or 4 months, been coming over here to my spot, to my apartment, hanging out. I'm just now finding out within the last 2 weeks. I had to get rid of my couch. I had to get rid of my mattresses. Because
your mattress.
Because it's bed.
Your mattress. Wait a minute, dude. Wait a minute. So you trying to tell me she was in your bed?
Yeah, she been in my bed, dude.
She been in your bed. Are you crazy?
Hey man,
come on
man.
Now, dude.
Listen,
you know,
hey, dude, the problem
real serious
is
right
not
now.
Where
you talking $2,500?
The problem is
you talking $2,500? You talking about my girl was in your bed? Now we not even gonna get into that. You understand what I'm saying? But that $2,500, you can forget about it.
No. Hold up.
First of all, you calling here. You calling here. And here is dude answer the phone, and you still got the ad for her, and then go tell me about some $2,500 about some mattress?
Dude, I'm out. My mattresses, man, are $1,000. It's full of bed bugs. I had to throw that away.
Man, nobody worry about no damn mattress, dude. You talking about my girl. We've been together for 4 years. I'm about to pop the question on her, and you want to sit there talking about she been hanging with you or kicking with you for the last 4 months. It's about to be over in a minute.
Dude, if you want to marry Shanice, cool. I don't care nothing about that.
Nah, hey, don't even worry about that now. Put you on my phone talking about some damn mattress, man. That's a problem, dude. I ain't worried about no damn mattress.
I ain't got no mattress right now.
You calling my house? You calling mine?
I do not have a mattress right now, nor do I have a couch. Do you understand the problem that brings to me?
I don't care nothing about your mattress or couch, dude. I don't care nothing about that. Your name, you say your name Brandon?
I'm Brandon, yes.
Yeah, Brandon, okay. Don't worry about it, Brandon, because you're going to find me real soon. Don't let me find you before you find me, though. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
You
can have them bed bugs and that mattress or whatever. Answer these for all I care. But what I'm saying is, you're talking about some bed bugs. Ain't no bed bugs over here.
Okay, so where's she getting all the bugs from? She done brought them over here to my place.
I don't care nothing about it. She ain't bring nothing over there, first of all. But that ain't even a problem right now.
Dude, you calling me over here, man. I ain't had nobody else over here.
Don't worry about who you had over there. But you don't call here talking about no money. You ain't getting nothing from here.
Okay, first of all, dude, check this out. I don't have a problem with you, okay? Me and you cool.
No, we got a problem. We already got a problem. You calling me talking about you been sleeping with my brother.
Hey, dog, I'm going to say it again. Me and you cool, dog. We cool.
Dude, we not cool. I'm gonna handle Shanice myself. I'm gonna handle you later.
What you talking about? You gonna handle me?
I'ma handle you later. You want a mattress, right?
Hey, dude.
You want a mattress,
go
right?
Ahead and marry Shanice. I ain't got nothing to do with that. My problem is getting my money back, man, for the property of mine that she has ruined, man.
Don't worry about that. I'm gonna get you a mattress. Don't worry about that. It's gonna be a casket wrapped around that.
Hey, dude, why are you sitting here creating the drama with me when me and you, we ain't even the problem? The problem is Shanice.
The problem is you picked up your phone and you called here. That's the problem.
Okay.
Now you got two problems.
Dude.
You ain't got no couch. You ain't got no mattress. Now you got a dude after you. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what? I can't talk to you. When do Shanice get home, man?
Don't worry about when Shanice get home.
Okay.
What you need to worry about is when I find you.
Okay, so when you going to have my money then when you find me? Because I need my money.
Yeah, I'm going to have your money. I'm going to have your mattress, too. Please understand. You're going to be resting real well.
Okay. So let me ask you this here, man. Shanice bring bed bugs over to my house. Leave them all in my mattress. Leave them all on my couch where I got to throw my stuff away. Where I'm wrong at, man? Where I'm wrong?
I'm going to ask you straight up. Did you know she had a man?
Say what?
Did you know she had a man?
But, I mean, kind of, sort of, but not really, though.
Ain't no kind of, sort of, man. Either you know she got a man or she don't got a man. You knew she had a man, right? And you still went and did it, right?
Hey, dog, I ain't got nothing to do with y'all, man. I'm dealing with these bed bugs. You understand what I'm saying?
Dude, do you understand you messing up a four-year relationship? You know how much time I put in with this woman? Four years. We about to get married. And you calling here with this
When are y'all supposed to get married?
Don't worry about when we supposed to get married, man. You messed that all up. What I'm trying to explain to you is, dude, you calling here on some bed bug which I know she ain't got nothing to do with, but the fact that you told me that she was over your house, in your bed, that's over. It's over now. You understand what I'm saying? Now, when she get home, I'm going to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? That's going to get dealt with. I'm walking up out of here. But when I leave here, please believe my next stop is to come find your ass. First of all, how did you get the number to this apartment? That's what I want to know.
Hey, dude, she gave me both numbers, the cell phone number and the house number, and told me, you know, if it's an emergency, call the house.
Okay, and this is an emergency?
Yeah, this is an emergency. I got bad bugs, man.
Learn another emergency number. Learn 911, because when I come knocking on your door, either you come out and you handle it, or you better call the cops. You understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Hey, man, do you think Tommy will pay for the bad bugs?
Who is Tommy?
I'm just saying, do you think Tommy will pay for the bed bugs?
Man, who the f*** is Tommy?
Tommy, dog. Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Ernest, you just got pranked by your girl Shanice.
Man. Y'all.
You all right, man?
Boy, it was over. It was over. You understand what I'm telling you? It was over.
Scratch that off. Bed bugs, baby. I'm the prank man. I never thought I'd be this old playing on the phone. I really didn't. But yeah.
None of us did. I can't tell you how many times I had to go to the playground, put him in my pocket and escape.
And escape.
Get in here. Was he that little or did you have really big pockets? Which one?
I mean, either way.
I mean, yeah, like I'm Tyrion on the Game of Thrones. I ain't small like that.
Jump in here.
Yes, you were.
I grew past that. I was.
But you stayed way longer than most people. You went from Tyrion to Manuel Lewis to Gary Coleman. And that's where you at.
And he stuck there.
Gary Coleman, huh? What you talking about, Willis? Yeah, that's where he at right now.
I was growing.
I didn't care.
Charlotte.
Well, I had a boy bite. He had a girl bite.
What do you mean he had a girl
bite? Why did he
bite?
Have a girl bite?
How are you going to touch the paddle with the ball across there?
This must be true because he's not protesting.
He's not saying anything. He's very
He the one who bought me a pink bike.
It was pink?
Well, I was trying to keep the boy from picking on you.
How are you going to pick on
me?
Well, I just told him you a little ugly ass girl.
Oh, God. Because he had hair back then.
They jumped on him anyway.
All right, we got to go. Miss Ann is coming up next with our national news. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Miss Ann is standing by with today's headlines. In the wake of the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend, and in some cases even before that happened, leaders in several states are calling for the removal of Confederate symbols in Nashville at the Tennessee State Capitol. Protesters call for the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest to be removed, the Confederate general and KKK leader.
Wow.
Was part of a mass killing of black soldiers back in 1864.
So they gave his ass a statue.
A statue, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and then they're protesting because they want to keep these statues around. In Florida, Jacksonville, the city council president requested that the city take stock of all Confederate symbols on public property and develop an appropriate plan of action to move them to museums or schools.
Well,
okay?
Why don't they do, look.
Schools.
Look, yeah. Listen to this.
Right.
African Americans had to pitch in their money. Oprah Winfrey, Robert Smith.
Oh, yeah.
They all gave money to have the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. And a lot of other people contributed also. Look, if hillbillies want to keep the Confederate mess.
Do what?
If hillbillies
put their money
want
together.
To keep the Confederate flag and all that stuff, then put y'all money together and build your building. You can carry your little kids in there, keep talking about this ignorant mess till you leave here. Now, everybody else that wants it, we had to raise money for the Martin Luther King statue up in D.C. Let them raise money, take all these statues, and put them in a building. And you can go worship,
ain't got
serve.
No money
who
for
you?
No statue?
Well, what? Then they got to go.
Right. They can't be out here and
pull them down.
Down, yes.
Black people keep coming up with money to do stuff.
Yeah.
Just let these Confederate loving, the South will rise again people. You can feel how you want to feel. Just go in the building. Y'all can have church in there and everything.
Party, pizza party.
Oh, throw it up. You can put a Chuck E. Cheese in there, all that. Put a little ball machine. Chuck E. Cheese ain't going in there with
you. No,
you can
do
a little ball machine, and you can get a little games in there for the kids, you know.
And what would they call it, the racist museum?
Oh, well, hey.
You know, the South will rise again, whatever they want to cut that. They can feel how they want to feel. It's a lot of people really want to keep the memory of the Civil War alive.
Because they say that's part of their history.
Well, but, okay, cool. Then cool.
Well, you
then
lost
do it.
The war. Let it go.
Yeah, and slavery's over.
But that do make sense, though. Put y'all money together.
Yeah.
Get it in the museum.
Like Oprah.
Yeah. Go down there and have a good time.
Bro, ain't nobody mad at you.
Oh, they
go on and have it. But what you cannot do is put it on taxpayer property. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to pay taxes to maintain this statue, and we don't care nothing about this statue.
Because
black people pay taxes in Tennessee, Charlottesville, and everywhere else.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So now, if we got to pay taxes on this public ground, we got somebody out there polishing the damn statue, squirting off pigeon crap. Then what we need to do is we need to have a say-so of what's out here. Let's get all that hillbilly mess and put it in a damn warehouse somewhere. Yeah. And y'all open up a warehouse, just tour the warehouse.
And do it.
Yeah. You can put sawdust on the floor. You can just make it look feel like a reborn and everything.
Horseshoe
reenactments.
You know,
all
that's
that.
Another thing. When they be doing them civil rights reenactments, they be fifing drums and all like that.
Yeah.
You lost.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we keep reenacting this?
Let it go, man. Let it go.
It ain't
go
chain.
Thank you,
why
Jesus.
Why are we reenacting this? You lost. South ain't rising no more.
Ever.
It's new now. Yeah. And then right after we get rid of that, we need to get rid of this Electoral College vote.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just deal with the popular vote.
Yes.
Whoever gets the most votes wins. All right. Well, in Florida, like I was saying, Jacksonville, the city council president requested the city take stock of all Confederate symbols on public property and develop an appropriate plan of action to move them to museums and schools. All right.
Trump ain't said nothing about this.
All right. Let's go. Miss Ann is here, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the very talented Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Well, it was a swift turnaround. Here it is. President Trump is now defending his delayed response to the violence in Charlottesville last weekend and again insisting that there was blame on both sides. The president held a news conference yesterday. It was billed as being about a new infrastructure initiative, but things quickly went south, as in Virginia, with Trump saying both the left and right sides were at fault.
You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. Many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
By the way, historians will point out that although they owned slaves, that neither George Washington or Thomas Jefferson were part of the Confederacy. That came years and years after that. By the way, President Trump is accusing the business executives who quit his Manufacturing Advertising Council this week in protest over his reaction to that Unite the Right rally. He says they were grandstanding. The president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing has now followed the examples of the heads of Intel, Merck Pharmaceutical, and Under Armour in resigning from Trump's panel. Police in Charlottesville, meanwhile, reviewing the way they handled things during the supremacist rally. Police Chief Al Thomas says they did the best they could under the circumstances.
We were following a number of groups, ensuring that they were being peaceful, but it was a challenge.
And now Governor Terry McAuliffe is ordering a review of how the state of Virginia issues rally permits, as well as how police prepare for public demonstrations. A sheriff in North Carolina says he's pursuing felony charges against the protesters who pulled down a Confederate monument in Durham early this week. Anti-racist demonstrators seen on video using a rope to pull down the statue of a Confederate soldier that stood outside the old courthouse there. And now police didn't intervene because they said they didn't want things to escalate. But now Sheriff Mike Andrews says he's been able to identify some of the protesters and prepared to use every legal option to arrest them.
Let me be clear. No one is getting away with what happened. We will find the people responsible.
State law prohibits municipalities from removing monuments without prior approval of the legislature. And today, National Baby Boomers Day and National Number Two Pencil Day and Singing National Harmony Day. Boom, 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 boom. Singing Harmony. 20 minutes after the hour, Eugene the Butterfly is coming up. Stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's introduce Eugene, please. And do it nicely so he can have a good attitude.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Eugene.
That was very nice.
That was good.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Stephen, Shirley, Carla.
Yes, Butterfly. Good morning.
What's up, Eugene?
Good morning, Junior.
Morning, Butterfly. So what we got to do today?
Flap on, flap on.
Tommy, good morning.
What's up, man?
I'm sorry, Stephen, what did you say?
I said, so what we got to do today?
Nothing. I'm not going to ask you any questions because you don't like me to ask you anything, or you don't like surveys or anything like that. But I'm letting you all know. Today it's about back to school, and I'm going back to school.
Oh, you are. Congratulations.
I want to be on.
Wonderful.
But it's like modeling now. I want to be on Project Runway. And Stephen, I'd really, if you can help me get on this show.
Right there. Right there. Didn't I just say, what do we have to do? And then he said nothing. And now here he come talking about some damn help. And you're not. I'm not helping you get on the show.
You have connections.
No,
designing. It's as a designer because you know he makes all his own clothes. So
man,
he'll be
ain't
on
nobody
there.
Finna buy that.
He'll be on there as a designer, Steve.
Steve, I really need your help getting on Project Runway. I really, really do. And I think I'm great for being on the show.
What
I
has
really
he
do.
Made, Shirley, that you would wear?
Well, there's, you know, the halter thing. The halter thing sounded
Shirley,
really nice.
You I can't wear no halter. So what else we talking about?
Wait a minute. Shirley can wear a nice halter.
Can wear a halter.
Carla can too.
No. Not tied up behind the neck, they can't.
Yeah, it get real up in there now.
Yeah, unless you're going real
far. Tommy, to the butterfly.
Yeah.
Back. You know, get it off
unless you're going to make this halter out of chains or something.
I hate you with everything.
Everything.
Steven, do you know Heidi Klum? Could you hook me up with Heidi Klum, the house, or even Michael Kors? Could you to help me get on Project Runway?
They don't care for you.
Steve, there could be an audience for butterflies designs.
What?
I created the man halters for you, Tommy, and Junior, remember?
And hey, man. Did anybody wear it?
Nobody wore it.
Y'all didn't wear it, but I'm just saying it was a great design.
They see right there, a great design is worn by people. A design that you make.
I created the rumpers, and everybody wearing that now.
Everybody's not wearing them. Them rumpers ain't really catching on. Are rumpers catching on?
Male rompers.
The one that played for Oklahoma City, he
only wore it one time. He ain't had on one since. You talking about Russ or Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook, yes. Yeah. He wore a romper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he wore it once.
Who else?
You got to wear one, Junior, before the year's over. So don't be here trying to count down the line who wore one, who didn't wear one. You going to put the one on. I bought for you.
Okay. All right, man. Good luck with it, though. You got to get it on me. I'm fast.
The bottom line is, can you connect me with Heidi Klum? That's what I'm trying to do. No. You have all these connections.
I've actually never met her.
You didn't meet anybody else?
Well, like I just said, I haven't met her, so you won't be on that show.
We gotta go. Thank you, Butterfly. All right, we come back from the break. Steve, we have a couple of questions for you. We're gonna ask you, how old were you when? We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, we have a couple of questions for you as promised. This segment is called, how old were you when? How old were you when you had your first kiss, let's say?
No, Gwen has did that to me. I'm 13.
Oh, 13, so that was a little later.
I didn't want it.
What do you mean you were traumatized?
She made me do it. She snatched me off my bike. She stayed across the street. She was a big girl. She pulled me down off the bike and threw me up against a tree and kissed me real hard.
And then what?
Nothing. I just felt violated. I didn't cry. I didn't cry nothing, but it was just traumatizing. She was big. She was actually on my TV show.
Yeah, I remember when she came on.
She was actually, they found her, and they found Gwen Harris. Uh-huh. And then she came on TV talking about, yeah, I ain't make you. You wanted it. I'm looking at her. I'm going, you just a damn liar.
Yeah. You say that on TV, though.
No, I told her that. She came down there with, man, I ain't seen Gwen Harris, man. I think last time I saw Gwen Harris, I was at a mama's funeral, man. I might have been 19.
And you had no idea she was going to be on the show.
I had no idea.
Wow. Wow.
And my first kiss was on my talk show.
Wow.
And it was not a kiss. It was not memorable. It was very forceful. She was stronger than me. She was handling my little ass. My little ass was just getting snatched.
But were you were you at that age where you liked girls? You started liking them and thinking, you were 13.
I never went through the phase where I didn't like girls.
Oh, okay.
I liked girls in kindergarten.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Man, he was that one.
Yeah, I had the girl on my show, but the first girl I ever walked home, I walked her home in the sixth grade and carried her book for her, Teresa Shepherd.
You remember their names and everything,
yeah.
Steve.
No, Michelle Hawkins was in high school with me when I was walking and playing I Want to Go Outside in the Rain in the cafeteria, and she wouldn't give me a date. And that song was on, and that's why that song, Go Outside, means so much to me. Oh. I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Go outside.
She was on my show, too. And when they all came out, I named every last one of them.
Wow.
Wow.
That really threw them off.
I'm sure they remembered you. Excuse me?
His name.
What? What did you just say?
Hey.
Don't try to help him, Junior. Because
he just said it. You don't never learn, do you?
Uh-uh.
Hey, voted for sure. He was voted most difficult in high school. I'm trying to tell you.
Let's just move on.
Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
How old were you when you heard your first Earth, Wind, and Fire song? I know that's your favorite
17.
Group of all time. 17. Okay.
17, he fell in love.
17. Might have been 16. 16 when I heard the first Earth, Wind, and Fire song. 17. When I bought my first Earth, Wind & Fire album.
Wow. And what was the song?
The first song I heard was Head to the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
That was off the Head to the Sky album. Mm-hmm. But my favorite song on that album was Masquerade. Can this work?
I knew you was going to sing it. That boy can
Be a masquerade. I want to know, are we what we really see on the outside and hiding what we really are on the inside?
Just when you think he's finished.
Yeah.
Ding that.
Just can't let it go.
You're something. You're really not. Ooh, yeah.
Get into it,
the
boy.
The whole world is a masquerade.
There's some kids trying to figure out.
I don't give a damn some what them kids trying to figure out. I don't give a damn what them adults trying to figure out. I figured it out.
All right.
Y'all want to ask me some more of them? I like that.
Okay, you like that? Okay, we'll be back with more and the nephew's prank phone call coming up.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after the hour, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But first, come on, nephew, for your prank phone call. And then after that, we're going to ask you some more questions, Steve. So get ready.
Is that your husband? Is that your husband?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, your husband in the park. Here we go. With another woman, and that's your husband.
What? No way. Play too much.
Hello, I'm trying to reach Karen.
This is Karen.
Karen, hey, listen, my name is Mark. Are you married to Jason?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I got the right person. Listen, I don't even know how to say this to you. Like I said, my name is Mark. I follow my wife today.
Uh-huh.
And right now, I'm at a park, and I'm almost certain that my wife is right now, I'm about 200 or 300 yards away, but I'm almost certain my wife is holding hands with your husband, Jason. So
okay, hold on. When you see my husband at the park with your wife, how long have you been following them?
I followed my wife this morning because I just was feeling like real weird about, you know, something going on, and I followed her, and I'm at the park right now, and you know. I think she's with Jason. I think she's with your husband.
What type of car do you see Jason in?
A Lexus.
What color is it?
White.
Okay, that's him. So he's supposed to have went to work today. And it's Sunday, and they had some overtime that he's supposed to be doing at work today. And he's at a park with your wife. Are you close to them?
I'm not close to him. I tried to stay back. Wait. Hold up. She just kissed him.
She just kissed who?
My wife just kissed your husband.
What'd you say your wife's name is again?
My wife's name is Veronica.
Veronica. Okay, what park they at?
They at Langley Park. I'm at Langley Park right now. I'm about 200 yards away from them, and I'm looking at, she just kissed him again. I cannot believe this, man.
I know well, you're not telling me that your wife is kissing my and husband. How did you get my number? That's all up. Back this up. How did you get my number and who are you?
Like I say, my name is Mark. A buddy of mine named Fitzgerald. He knows Jason.
I don't know Fitzgerald. I don't want to know how you get my number.
Fitz told me he knew Jason and some kind of way got me your phone number. I don't even know who he got your number from. All I know is your husband is kissing my wife right now. That's what I know.
Okay, you just sitting there watching. Give me the number. We can change this right now. You sitting there watching on some Spectre Gadget. I'll go and bust all this up because I don't play that. Because he said he had to work this morning, some of the overtime don't have time. Then who does that in the park with some body? It's too cold to be in a park anyway. You can't feed no ducks. Give me the address of this Langley Park.
Okay, wait a minute. They're getting a blanket out the car.
Now, who does that? I know well, he ain't no romantic type of guy. He never take me to no park, but
they're getting a blanket out the car and going deeper into the park. I cannot believe this. They're getting the blanket. Now, I'm looking at...
Give me the park address.
They got wine and wine glasses.
Mark, give me the address of the park. You want some white boy stalk? I'm trying to go. I'll bust that up. I don't have time for that calling me all startled and watching your wife. I'm not going to watch and I'm going to hand him his ass. Okay, let's stop this right now. Take your over there to the park and give him the phone. I don't have time for this. You sitting up there watching your wife with my you calling me. What kind of are you?
Say what?
You supposed to be up there getting on that because if I was there, I'd be the slap that and I've been handing him his cap. Go hand him the phone. Take up there and hand him the phone. What the hell are you calling me for?
I'm trying to see what else they going to do. That's what I'm trying to do.
You done seen enough. All that pointing that be over there doing, putting out a guy. What you want, wait to see him? Take your ass over to hand him the phone. I know Jason ain't in no park with no I'm got my at home. I am on our third child pregnant with a baby. But I don't give a I'll go up there and whoop his while I'm pregnant. I know well Jason ain't in no park with no don't hand him the phone. You
look, I want to see. Let me step out the truck. Hold on. They drinking wine right now.
I don't give a about that. Go hand him the phone. Walk over there and hand him the phone. I don't know what you do with yours. I don't play about mine.
Oh, man, they just...
Mark, I don't know who you are, but go hand him the phone. Go hand him the phone. You sitting up there watching with your weak... Who in the are you anyway?
That's my wife he with. He with my wife.
You must be old... Because if you was one of them big old yoked up black... One of them got on his... Who does that? You sitting up there watching him at the park. I'm telling you now, I'm whooping that when I see her. I'm whooping your wife. Then I'm whooping Jason. And I'm going to slap your calling me with this. You sitting up there calling me, got my blood pressure sky high while you sitting up there watching my with your wife. You supposed to be all on top of that. Okay. Yeah, when I see you got that coming too. But I'm going to find this Langley Paul right now. I'm going to get off the phone because I'll be up there. I'm going to show you how.
Okay, hold on. Somebody want to talk to you.
Give him the phone. Right.
Hello,
who is this?
This Tommy.
Tommy who?
This nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your husband Jason got me to prank phone call you.
This is some you almost made me have my baby up in this house this morning. And I got two more months to go.
Your husband Jason got me to prank phone call you.
He know better than that shit. I'm whooping anyway when he come on.
He told me, look, man, my wife is a no-nonsense. She don't take no drama, none of that. He told me.
That don't make no sense because I was like, what man sit there and watch their wife at the park? What man does that? This is crazy. But you tell him, I got him. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to ask you this, baby. One more thing. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Yeah. I'm going to get Jason with this. No, Tommy, I'm going to get you. I'll show you what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm just going to name the baby Tommy. Tell him that for a joke.
Tell him you're going to name the baby Tommy?
Yeah, tell Jason that I'm going to name the baby Tommy.
There it is.
Boy.
Hmm?
That prank right there, that's my girl.
That you made me nervous.
Expected gadget. Yes. She's serious about her man. I love it.
Oh, man. All right, thank you, nephew. That was good, as always. Yeah.
Boy, y'all got me thinking about First Earth, Wind & Fire song. I heard. Man.
You got ahead, into Cheryl. It. Okay, here's another one. How old were you when you made your first $1 million?
Oh.
I like to know this.
He was in his 30s. Late 30s, wasn't it?
38,
39,
I think.
No, later than that.
Later than that?
You made a meal with the Steve Harvey Show.
I was the lowest paid lead of any TV show on television.
Was that because you were black?
Well,
because
I didn't know.
Forget color. This lack of knowledge.
I really can't put that on racism. I did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
When I signed for...
For what you thought was probably a lot of
yeah,
money
man.
At the time, right?
$75,000.
Yeah.
Per show.
What?
That's yeah. a lot of money, Steve.
Oh, my
Take
God.
That right
but
now.
How much
wasn't
was...
nothing on TV.
But that was the lowest. How much?
Martin Lawrence was getting, when he Did left Martin? TV, Martin Lawrence was getting like $475 a week.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's encouraging.
Absolutely. I tell people this all the time. It take a long time to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just
mm-hmm.
run out here. My daughter then told me, I'm going to make $1 million my first year. Okay, cool. That's great right there. Now, I want to push you in the flow. You're talking about you're just going to go out here and just make a damn million.
And it's harder.
I've been out here hustling.
And it's harder even to maintain it, right?
It's,
once you make it.
It's much harder to maintain than mm-hmm. it is to make. As difficult as it is to make, to continue to produce it is monumental effort.
Wow.
It's daunting. But once you get there, you learn the principles. You adhere better. At least you know more. And you want more. Because once you get a taste of it, you ain't going to go back.
All right, coming up next, Strawberry Letter. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up next, today's crazy Strawberry Letter, as always. But first, Oprah Winfrey in the news, your good friend Steve. She's opening up about why she and her long-term partner, Stephen Graham, have never gotten married. The couple has been together for more than, guess how long?
26 years.
30 years. They've been together 30 years. And Oprah tells Vogue that they did consider tying the knot at one point, but realized if they did, they wouldn't still be together. Really? Oprah explains, we would have not stayed together because marriage requires a different way of being in this world. She adds that his interpretation of what it means to be a husband and what it would mean for me to be a wife would have been pretty traditional, and I would not have been able to fit into that.
No, she couldn't.
Yeah, because she's not a traditional person.
No, she's had a different life.
Yeah, she's had a different kind of a life. Yeah.
You know, if he wants a wife to stay home and
cook and clean and all that.
Yeah, that ain't what she's fitting to do.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. Got news for you.
No.
Yeah.
Not a lot that of thing people. Of
Not a lot. Shirley ain't going to cook.
I was just...
So she half there. Shirley clean as hell, but she ain't going to cook a damn thing.
Right, exactly.
You and Oprah got something in common, huh?
Yeah.
My wife not can our do bank both. Accounts, she can but, cook and clean.
But she doesn't. Well, she's not required
if you
to.
Don't have to. I'm not mad at that.
I ain't mad at none of it. You know, if you can get yourself a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where you can just go live your life, you probably ought to sign that one.
Exactly. Thank you. Yo. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
Mm-mm. Carla, on the other hand, has been cooking since she was 9, as we learned yesterday.
Yeah.
9! Now,
who washed the clothes at your house,
Who do what?
Who washed the clothes at your house?
Let me... a housekeeping maid. Well,
ain't you talking about.
I promise you who it ain't.
What, Tommy?
I don't even know what.
Hey,
the clothes I took off this morning before I came in here, I don't know what happens to them.
You do not take your clothes off and step out of them and leave. Do you do that?
They be right there on that closet floor. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's a fairy godmother. I don't know if it's a ghost.
A ghost?
I don't know
what happened. Jamie St. Patrick.
Hey, I don't hang up nothing. I throw stuff down. When I come back, ain't nothing in the floor. I don't know what happened. And the next thing I know, one day it's just all back.
It's magic, Steve.
I don't know if it go to the cleaners. I don't know if they wash it. Well, we don't really have to go to cleaners because we have a dry cleaning facility.
Where?
What?
Excuse me?
Where?
Whoa, 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 whoa,
stop. Hurry.
I know it's time for the letter,
but... We gotta get to the letter. Yeah, hurry up.
But
you can buy the machinery. You can own the machine.
Oh, we gotta talk about this.
And if
you could dry clean your clothes at
your house.
Jesus is on the main line, isn't he?
It's just a machine.
You just call
it. It ain't no magic trick down there. Now, them people down there got machines. You can get small ones. It's in dust and dust. Just got trained. Somebody had to. Why did
you
so
got
hard
a
to
Harvey cleaner?
No, why is you? Why is I'm
he
sending
is George
all this Jefferson. Stuff out?
You George Jefferson?
Yeah, and don't know how to work it or nothing. I walk past a little room. It'd be hot as hell in that hallway.
All right, stop right there. We'll revisit
this. We're coming back
point.
To your phone.
Yeah, we're coming back. Let's get to the letter, nephew. Come on.
Buckle up. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you.
Subject, where do I begin? First of all, hello, Steve, Shirley, Carla, and Tommy. I live in a small southern town in Georgia, to say no more. I recently moved to Florida 10 months ago to the big city of Jacksonville for a better paying job. A month after I moved there, I met a wonderful man who I deeply have feelings for, but he lives back home near my old hometown. Every other weekend, he comes down to see me. I offered to come back home to visit him, but he said not to bother because we wouldn't have the privacy like we do here at my apartment. Well, I am fine with that. Saves me from not paying these high gas prices, LOL. Well, to the point, code cracker. My best friend back home is getting married, and I am so happy for her, but I told her I was unable to make it to the wedding due to work, which I was lying to her. Well, the weekend of the wedding was coming up, and I began to feel guilty. told my boss I needed a couple of days off due to some issue back home. While I was heading back home, I thought I would call my boyfriend and tell him I was coming home for a couple of days for a wedding. Well, he told me he was going to a wedding also, but didn't have time to see me because the wedding was out of town, which I was fine with. I got to the ceremony in time to get a seat for the wedding and wished my best friend the best of luck for her wedding. Sitting in the far back of the ceremony, I couldn't see her new husband-to-be all that well. So I decided to move up closer where I saw an empty chair so I could see the wedding and get a better look at the groom. As I walked up to the chair, I noticed the groom-to-be is my boyfriend. I've been seeing for 9 months. I left soon as I saw him, which he didn't see me. Now, my best friend is married to this man I once had a relationship with. I broke it off with him, but giving him a different reason why I couldn't see him any longer. I want to tell my best friend of 5 years about her husband and I, but my best friend doesn't even know I'm gay. What should I do? Because he doesn't deserve a Wonder Woman like my best friend. Help me out. Sincerely, my ex-best friend's husband now. My ex-best friend's husband now.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
I want to tell my best friend of five years about her husband, but my best friend doesn't even know I'm gay. What should I do? Because he doesn't deserve a Wonder Woman like my best. So are you saying that the person that wrote this letter is a guy?
That's what I got out of it.
Good God to me.
That's exactly what I got out of it, Steve. I mean, you know, dear my ex-boyfriend's husband now, he starts with where do I begin? You know, I got to say the same thing. Where do I begin? I mean, I was fooled. I thought I had this letter figured out until, you know, you threw the drama in the end. Up until that time, along with everyone else, I'm sure, I thought you were a woman who was writing this letter. I really, really did. But the line that says, my best friend doesn't even know I'm gay, you know, indicates that a man is writing this letter. His best friend is a woman who just got married to the man he was having an affair with.
This is fiberglass. Now, this one you're fiberglass.
Well, that explains why the best friend wasn't in the wedding.
Right.
Because I was thinking if she was a female, why wasn't she in her best friend's wedding?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a man wrote the letter. He had an affair with his best friend's now husband, and he wants to know, should he tell his best friend, his lover's wife? Oh, God.
Cold cracker.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you crack this one?
12 minutes after... The code cracker
is speechless. Right now,
looks confused, but he'll get it together.
Gonna be a little bit different response.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. With part two of your response to today's strawberry letter. Let's go.
The new groom is on the down low, which is a very appropriate word because no matter how you look at it, if you're on the down low, even if you try to flip it, you low down. Either way you look at this, this situation is ugly. See, I have no problem with being a person being gay. If you're going to be gay, then be gay.
Right.
But just go be that, though.
Yeah.
Do not ruin somebody else's life. You know, come on out with it. Be proud of it. That's what you are, then be proud of it. Take your stand. This is your stand in life. Who am I to judge?
Plenty of them.
You know, I got my own issues. I am not in the judging people business anymore. Once upon a time, I used to be. But if that's your thing and that's what floats your boat, then you do your thing. You got to work that out with your creator. You got to fix that out in your soul. That's your lifestyle. But if you're going to have that as your lifestyle, then have it. See, the down low is what stinks. When you perpetrating to a woman that you her man and all her man, then you go out and you take on some other man, but don't tell her about it. Now you ruin her life. Okay, now you going down here every other weekend with this dude. And once again, brother that wrote the letter, I ain't got nothing against you. You doing your thing. You live your life. That's how you choose to go. That's your business. My personal viewpoint of it is not important because it ain't my life. So you just doing you. You done met a man you deeply have feelings for. But this letter is written from a different perspective. It kind of has gay wrote on it.
What do you mean?
If you just read the letter. Every other weekend he comes down to see me. That sounds like something some man would tell a woman. But
Yeah. You offered to come back home to visit, but he said not to bother because we wouldn't have the privacy like we do here in my apartment. Yeah, no, you can't have the same privacy because the fiance got a key and she keep coming in.
Right.
Now, y'all can't be all this all up in there. She got the key.
But still, that made you think that they were just having an affair, you know.
Well, I'm just saying that's one of the reasons why you just can't go back to that apartment.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm fine with that. It saves me for paying those high gas prices. Laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. This ain't funny. Nice little cute attempt at a joke, but this ain't funny right now. Well, to the point, Cold Cracker. My best friend back home is getting married, and I'm so happy for her. But I told her that I was unable to make it to the wedding due to work, which is lying to her. Mm. Well, the reason you lied to her was because that weekend that she was getting married was your weekend.
Yes, yes.
That he come down every other weekend.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
So you just lied and said you couldn't make it because you wanted to stay at the house for your weekend. Mm-hmm. But then you felt guilty and said, I'm going to go on up to her wedding. So then you decided to call homeboy, tell him you coming. Well, guess what? The reason he wasn't coming to Jacksonville that weekend because he lied to you and said, I'm going to a wedding. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we could hook up. We ain't going to have time because the wedding I'm going to out of town.
Mm. Interesting.
What now? Now, you just got two men lying.
Yeah.
And who lie better than men? I don't care if you a man or a gay man. Men lie as well as anybody.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that does. Thank you, but we have to go. You can email or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And tomorrow is the day, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow's the day. We're going to start our after show Strawberry Facebook Live.
This is it, baby. Situation. 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock Eastern. 1 o'clock Eastern. We'll be live with all your questions, all your comments, whatever you want to talk about the Strawberry Letter. It debuts tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern on Facebook Live. You can find me at My Girl Shirley or Shirley Strawberry. Okay, so please join me tomorrow. We want to make a big splash. All right, and thank you guys so far for loving the letter and writing us, and keep those letters coming. As a matter of fact, keep
you,
those
sir.
Letters coming. Okay. Thank you guys.
It's gonna be really good.
Thank Tommy, you go in fun. At 102, then I'm coming right behind you at 105.
Yeah.
And then that way,
I'm going to close it.
I'm going through the exact same thing.
Right, Carla. You got to have that, Carla.
I'm going to just come in at 127 and just cuss for 3 minutes.
What is with this cussing?
Because you're on the internet. You can do that right
now. Yeah. You guys.
You need us.
To make it pop. So everybody, did you hear all the cussing on Strawberry After Show live today?
What you think about this, baby?
Exact
beep?
Same thing. You remember with the preacher?
Right, girl.
What?
All right, switching gears. Chance the Rapper acted as the Grand Marshal of the Windy City's annual Bud Billiken Parade.
Oh,
we'd
wow.
love
yeah,
us some that. Bud Billiken.
We did that the last time together.
Yeah, we did a couple of years together, Steve. Then he hosted a free invite-only concert on Saturday night. Chan said it was important to him for him to make sure the building was full of the teachers, parents, and other cornerstones of the community that help build local youth up. The biggest surprise of the night was a pre-recorded video message from guess who? Chicago. We're talking about Chicago.
President Obama.
Yes! Oh. Yes! He sent his congratulations to Chance the Rapper.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
That's
said
nice.
Chicago. I thought R. Kelly had sent it. No, that would have been stunning. No, I was gonna go with it because he's from Chicago. He's one of the most famous Chicagoans out there. Oh,
no, it's from President Obama. He had a great
crazy
message.
Man.
Wow, that's really good. Chance, I love the fact that he gives back in such a major way to a city that he loves and grew up in.
Yes.
And then he honored the teachers and the parents and the the important
He's
people in the
guy,
community.
Man.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of times teachers are those unsung heroes, you know. And thank you for that. We appreciate it. Yeah. And President Barack Obama with the video message, that's major. Mm-hmm. That's major. It is.
Imagine if I could get this dude on my TV show.
Who?
Uh-huh.
President Obama.
Well, I'm sure you can make that happen.
Why
it's
even
a phone
see?
Call for you, ain't
Yeah.
It?
Y'all really think way too much of me. Come on, that's a phone call for you.
You have the cleaners in your house. We think a whole lot of you,
It's not a whole cleaners. It's just a cleaning machine.
Are your clothes ready the same day or the next day at 3?
It depends on what I'm wearing.
And do they do alterations?
Yeah.
What?
What?
He said,
yeah.
Yeah.
You are something else, Steve Harvey. I love
it,
though.
I don't see what y'all...
It's major.
We didn't know about the cleaners. Yeah, we did not know about the cleaners.
I didn't know that either.
But y'all, how you think people start cleaners? It's a machine.
In their house?
We didn't know they started them at their house.
Right. You ain't got to buy the storefront. You ain't got a big giant wall unit.
We know about George Jefferson, okay?
You just need a little one.
Oh.
Now, they make all that for people, dog. You just got to want it.
Okay. Hey, Unc, you know what? What if we started a cleaning business? You know, Neff and Unc.
Why would you cleaners. Do that?
And run it out his
Why
house?
Why would you do that? Now, I'm finna make $6 on a pair of slacks.
Yeah.
Why would I be sitting up in there working my ass off like that?
In by 7, out by noon.
Really, you're going to make $2. I'm going to make $4 because it's my idea. But that don't worry about that part.
Right. Well, you're going to make that by yourself. I got a couple of other ideas that can flip a little bit more money.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so comedians sometimes get serious, you know, because life is serious. I mean, they have a funny take on things in life, but a lot of times they get serious. And last night, comedian Jimmy Fallon, host of The Tonight Show, got serious. He talked about the tragedy that's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. He took a few minutes to say how he felt about President Trump's late response to the Charlottesville tragedy. Take a listen.
Even though The Tonight Show isn't a political show, it's my responsibility to stand up against intolerance and extremism as a human being. What happened over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia was just disgusting. I was watching the news like everyone else, and you're seeing like Nazi flags and torches and white supremacists, and I was sick to my stomach. My daughters are in the next room playing, and I'm thinking, how can I explain to them that there's so much hatred in this world? They're 2 years old and 4 years old. They don't know what hate is. They go to the playground and they have friends of all races and backgrounds. They just play and they laugh and they have fun. But as kids grow up, they need people to look up to show them what's right and good. They need parents and teachers, and they need leaders who appeal to the best in us. The fact that it took the president 2 days to come out and clearly denounce racists and white supremacists is shameful. And I think he finally spoke out because people everywhere stood up and said something. It's important for everyone, especially white people in this country, to speak out against this. Ignoring it is just as bad as supporting it. And remember, there are people who have given their lives to make sure this kind of hate doesn't spread. They fought and died on the right side of history. One brave woman in Charlottesville, Heather Heyer, died standing up for what's right at the age of 32. I can't look at my beautiful, growing, curious daughters and say nothing when this kind of thing is happening. We all need to stand against what is wrong, acknowledge that racism exists, and stand up for what is right and civil and kind. And to show the next generation that we haven't forgotten how hard people have fought for human rights. We cannot do this. We can't go backward.
Wow.
Wow.
That
wow.
was very, very, very touching. Powerful. You can hear
wow.
the passion in his voice.
That's yeah. the dude he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He took a moment, you know, to just talk about it because he has daughters growing
See,
up
he
in this
said
world.
The most yeah. important thing he said was, it's important that white people stand up.
You said that yes. just the other day.
Man, let me tell you something.
You know?
This is not going to be cured with just us. Mm-hmm. Slavery didn't end because black people got tired of being slaves.
Right.
We were sick of that mm-hmm. yeah. before we got over here.
Right.
We were sick of hearing about it back in the villages in Africa. Mm-hmm. What's happening? They coming to get and take where? Oh, man, we've been sick of it. Black people had the most to do with it. Mm-hmm. But understand this. Without the help of some abolitionists, some mm-hmm. Quakers,
that's right.
some caring people, mm. just some God-fearing people that go, wait a minute, man, this ain't
this
right. These
right.
are human beings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and until that, then slavery just existed. This problem that we have here that continues to exist, to act like, I hate when I hear people say, there's no racism. Mm-hmm. I be going, where you stay?
Man, I don't see mm-hmm. color.
Where you stay? Well, I'm not a racist. So because you're not a racist don't mean racism don't exist.
That's right.
It exists, mm-hmm. and we got to stomp it out. And but this guy, David Duke, when he made the comment the other day that when President Trump came out and finally denounced this
yeah.
and used white supremacists and KKK, Did you hear David Duke's response?
What did he say?
He said, you need to take a good look in the mirror.
In the mirror.
Yeah. Because we are the backers. We are the supporters that got you in the White House.
Wow.
See, and that right there is scary.
Mm. Yeah, it is. On so many levels. Yeah.
Because they took some of his rhetoric and wrapped it around they Nazi flag and they white supremacist groups.
Yeah.
Because when he said, I'm going to make America great again, we're going to take our country back. I don't know if he said it exactly that, like that. But he said something to the effect that he wanted to make America great again. Well, they took it as, well, let's get it back to what it was in order to make America great again. Mm. We got to get it back to what it was. Because yeah. I never understood what period of time he was talking about when he was talking about let's make America
oh,
great
you
again.
Know.
Because I'm sitting in here going, because I don't remember. Ain't none of my past better than it is now.
Yeah. Right.
Not
right.
When I was 10, 40.
No.
You know, I'm about doing about as good as I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we have some problems in our country.
Oh, absolutely.
For all
Steve.
Of us who suffer injustices. And we got to do something about it. But I promise you this, though, man. It cannot happen unless we all sick of it.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
now yeah. we're starting to get it to where we're all sick of it. And now it's going to, something can get done. It's sad that it has to come to that, but it do.
Yeah.
I hate that woman was killed.
Oh, that's so such a tragic situation that didn't have to happen.
I mean, she was
happen.
Down here, man, to help others.
Mm-hmm.
Her
mm-hmm.
African-American friends. Her yeah. mother said she has African-American mm-hmm. friends, and she tired of them feeling in, mm-hmm. injustice. And she has gay friends, and she tired of them being discriminated mm-hmm. against. So here she come. Okay, cool. Now here come this butthole. Now they done found a picture of him. This reporter on CNN, when he was doing a study a little while ago, he had a picture of him and his voice on his phone at a neo-Nazi rally.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even his high school teacher came out and said that he was sympathetic to Nazis, to the Nazi cause and all of that.
And to Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, and to Adolf Hitler.
So why we...
Only 20, so much hate.
Hey, 20, I don't see, 20, I ain't.
I don't get it.
See, now we got a trial. Mm-hmm. He did it.
Yeah.
James Fields.
Yeah.
What's the trial for?
Okay.
Now, all this money taxpaying, he on video, he in the car. Mm-hmm.
Plenty of witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right to it.
Yeah.
He don't need no damn lawyer. You it.
We'll be back.
Any
Steve.
Other country, yeah. your ass is it.
We'll
it.
Be back.
That's true.
And if we start doing people like this and quit letting them off the hook,
we got to go.
Cut some of this, whatever.
Careful. We got to go.
I just asked a question.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it's that time again when we need you the most. We need you to be the judge. It's time for right or wrong with your nephew and junior.
Have you ever noticed all of the worst segments we have, Tommy's involved?
He's involved.
It's amazing to be a part of the worst segment and the best segment.
What about the prank call?
Well, he's a part of the worst and the best.
The prank weekend confessions?
The pranks are the best segment.
Okay, weekend
confessions. So he's a part of the best.
Right or wrong?
You just don't like the fact that I make sense. I wish Jay was here today.
I love right or wrong.
Y'all try to gang up on me, you and Joe.
This really shows you what the A&M college system is doing. This what this really shows me.
Why his ass got it.
He got one. Isn't young.
Ready?
Oh, and there's a story about your alma mater, too, that I think I gave you, Shirley, by A&M.
Oh, please, let's do
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got it. Oh, coming God. Up.
What's not?
Mm-hmm. It's coming up.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
What is it,
First
Tommy?
Of all, I just text him because he don't pick up my call no more.
What for? Junior don't answer your call.
Junior, now
Junior,
that's
not
right.
Play your boy.
Yeah.
I work at a TV show now in the daytime. I don't have time to talk. I don't have time to talk to him.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So I asked him this last night. He ain't respond. Will you tell him it is rude for a deaf person to do sign language while their mouth is full of food?
You are right there. The most stupid person.
Right there. I know.
You're not supposed to talk while your mouth is full. So am I right? You're not supposed to sign language while you're eating. Tell him,
You're not gonna say nothing, Steve. You just
Why? Why?
So you mean to tell me you sit here, fingers going, with a burger in your mouth? That's rude.
But if they could chew with their mouth closed and talk, if you can talk without opening your mouth.
I saw this at the restaurant and I was appalled. This is just rude. You can't be doing sign language and your mouth is full. That's rude.
I have an idea. Spell appalled. Sick of this right here.
Sign language it.
Yeah. Do that.
Now, then here's another one for Mr. Junior Boy. Tell this boy if some Siamese twins have sex with some more Siamese twins. Ain't that swinging?
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
Tell him that, dog.
Hell yeah. I thought about that last night. I think you're right on that.
Yeah.
That was right.
Yeah, I had to.
Okay,
when he
I had to
argue that. I can't even argue.
I'm with you when you're right.
That's swinging.
If I look over my shoulder and see my partner with the person I'm connected to,
you're in a swinging situation.
I cannot believe you're over there.
I mean, if you saw me twins and you in here with this girl, and it ain't no way in hell I'm just going to sit here.
I love right or wrong. I'm sorry. I love it. I love right or wrong. He's so stupid.
That was a good one,
nephew. My brother be looking at me like, hey, man, what is you excited for? I'm right here.
That's your turn.
I am you.
Yeah.
And you over there
looking at us.
You over there getting it, and I know what you're doing.
But you try to flip y'all.
Yeah. I tell you what, you better not get them going to the bathroom.
I couldn't argue.
When I move, you move just like that.
Yeah, I said, no, that's it. That's true.
Okay. He gonna text me back. Okay, you kind of got a point on this.
He didn't want to admit it.
He really that's funny. That.
What else you got?
Reason why he didn't pick up my call is because last week we was on the phone. I said, you do know the devil is married. And then he gonna just hang up on me.
What?
Wait. Tommy? Will you tell him the devil is married?
Yeah, I know it.
What?
I know it. I can tell you who he married to.
I knew you were gonna say that. You knew his wife.
I knew you were gonna say that.
So Tommy got 3 out of 3.
I know good and hell well.
Tommy
married.
Is right.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy. I love right or wrong. What you got? Why? Why you say that?
The devil is married.
Yeah.
Finish it.
I know his wife and his ex-wife.
Be quiet, Steve.
Oh, hell yeah.
There are more than one way you can get in trouble, okay?
Well, I was just talking about the devil.
I just told him the devil was married because when they be raining and sunshining at the same time, that's when they be arguing. That's why, because I know that's my grandmama said, so I knew he was married.
No, he actually does have a wife and an ex.
Would you stop? Stop it right now.
And how much pain was you in then?
Boy.
I mean, we all heard that when we were little, right? When it's raining or whatever.
I've never heard the devil beating his wife.
Yeah,
I've never heard that. And this is the first time I'm hearing this for Tommy, but I am here to confirm.
You know he's for right. a fact.
So far, he's 2 out of 3 with me.
And how do you know it?
Because I dated.
I did not. Don't say that, Steve. It just didn't work out for you. Don't say that. Tommy.
Are you done?
Tommy.
What?
I love right or wrong.
This first time you ever been 2 out of 3.
I know.
Okay, now I don't want to say this one.
I'm telling you.
Oh, you got
was
another
good.
One?
The deaf one was the only one I didn't like. But the swinging Siamese twins and Lucifer's ex-wife that I met.
I'd say you got 3 out of 3 today.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really want
to.
But you're the judge, Steve.
Yeah. No, I think he was on fire today, except for the deaf talking. I think it's very gifted if a deaf person can talk and chew with his mouth. I think that's a talent that I wish I had. I'm going to tell you right now, because my mouth, food fall out my mouth all the time when I'm talking.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Tommy's alma mater, Texas A&M.
What?
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Tommy, as promised, we're going to talk about your alma mater, Texas A&M. It's in the news, your school.
Ooh, I'm scared.
Yeah. This is
Before you say it, can I just throw the term hillbilly out there?
Go ahead. Quite apropos. White nationalists. Yeah. When you start a sentence off with white nationalists, it's not going to be good. Yeah. White nationalists are planning a September 11th, get this, Lives Matter protest.
September 11th.
9/11. The A&M student newspaper, The Battalion, initially reported that organizer Preston Wigginton said he was inspired by the
Preston Wigginton.
Wigginton.
He sound like a racist.
said he was inspired by the Unite the Right rally last weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. Really, dude? Really? Really? What was inspirational about that?
White lives matter.
Come on, yeah.
When did they not?
Of course, of course, the event turned violent, you know, between white supremacists and counter-protesters. Wigginton also had plans to invite Richard Spencer, the white supremacist, to organize last weekend's rally.
Well,
what the heck
all,
is going on?
If white lives matter, what about the white woman who was killed?
Yes.
See, you finna really find out something about life. But I don't understand. See, America, this freedom of speech we got, it sucks to the point sometimes. Mm-hmm. You cannot come on a state college. Is that a state school, Tommy?
Yes, it is.
Where we pay taxes and do and say what you want to say on a campus that taxpayers are paying for and students pay to go to that school that may not want to hear it. You can't come up in there with all of that. Especially when it's hate. Now, we got to stop some of these rules around here, man. This is ignorant. You can't get a permit for a parade to spread hatred.
Yeah, I agree with that. Freedom of speech, they have to cut it off somewhere when you talk about. I mean, a woman was killed here. Two state paratroopers were killed. This is horrible. How are you inspired by this? How are you inspired?
Inspired by this hatred.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
This is horrific.
And let me tell you something. You can try it if you want to. But them people down there in Bryan, Texas, they got something fighting.
They better not cross that
red light.
It's
some black people in Bryan not going to have it. Yeah. Well, there's some white people down there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the white people in Bryan, you ain't going to bring that down here now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, a heart after what happened last weekend in Charlottesville. Come on.
What you ain't been do is bring it down there. Some butthole come swinging through in another Camaro and just start wiping people out. We ain't been do that right now. I'll tell you what. Drive a car down this street at top speed and see what happens.
See how it go.
That's
so stupid.
On September 11th.
It's distressing, disappointing.
Yep, that's your school.
Sorry.
Well, let me just ask Texas this question A&M. Then. Tommy, you going?
No.
It's boy. White Lives Matter.
Well, you know,
because it's his alma mater.
Because he'll Aggie through and through it. Aggie throwing it.
School. Tell you, I'm not going to make it to the rally, dog.
Come on, Tommy, gig him.
White lives matter. I'm not going to be able to giggle. We know that.
Yes.
We know that white lives matter. We don't have a problem with white lives mattering.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
All
Mm-mm.
black people want to know is, can ours matters just as equal?
Exactly. That's the basis of the whole Black Lives Matter movement.
Man.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quit shooting us in the back. Quit opening the window and shooting in the car. Like that brother,
Philando Castile.
All right, we'll be back.
In Minnesota.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last week, Tiger Woods pleaded guilty to reckless driving for good reason, of course. He never stood a chance in court, though. ESPN obtained a toxicology report from the night of his arrest. Tiger was wasted on a cocktail of powerful painkillers, Vicodin, and Dilaudid. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that sounds reason a lot why better I know, than they what gave I it said. To me. Yeah. I've heard of Vicodin, though. Dilaudid.
Yeah, I know that because they give it to me.
Oh, yeah, oh, when you have a crisis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had it in Italy. I had it in Italy.
Why you were in pain?
What? You were in pain in Italy?
Why did you have it?
No, I was headed. I had a gelato.
That's gel. That's
ice cream. Boy. Yeah, Italian
sherbet.
Ice cream.
Okay, what drug did you say you had?
Dilaudid.
Oh, I thought you said gelato. I had that. It made me feel better.
That was yummy.
It did.
I tell you what, if you get some gelato, you do feel better. Now, I don't know if too much of hair you high. I ate a pint by my damn self. Didn't do nothing to me.
The cocktail also included Ambien. That's a sleeping aid. We know that. Yeah. To help calm his nerves, Tiger had taken Xanax and THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana.
First of all, let me just say this.
That's a lot.
Tiger need to get in touch. He need to get in touch with the Earl in him.
Earl
and stop all this.
The Cablanation stuff?
Yeah, we stop all this Cablanation, because now you're in here trying stuff. Stop all this Cablanation. You're black. They treating you black now.
Absolutely.
You're getting arrested. You're getting accused.
You black.
And yeah, it's black now. Yeah. Stop all this Cavendish.
His mugshot, though, look just like Homer Simpson.
Oh, no, like
yeah. But what he need to do, though, is stop all this.
Homer.
And, you know, and see, he said one of his mistakes was he's got away from Buddhism.
Yeah.
His chanting and stuff like that. Well, I don't know how that worked, and I ain't here to slam nobody's religion at all in any way, so that ain't none of my business. But let me just tell you this, though.
Try Jesus.
Jesus would be a good start.
Amen. Jesus would be a great move.
Hasn't failed Jesus us yet. Dog.
What I think Tiger need to do is what Tommy just said and just try Jesus.
Hey, yes. He's never failed us yet.
Not knocking nothing else, but Jesus do work.
Yes,
he's
does.
On the main line.
Lord God, Heavenly Father does work.
Amen. I'm with
God
you.
God Almighty,
right.
OMG, all that work.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You can actually start it with.
I'm not. I'm not knocking statues.
No.
It ain't what I do. But if I could recommend something to you, in the words of Rance Allen,
something
about the name Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
It is the sweetest name I know. Mm-hmm. That's just a recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
Yes.
Try that. You might can make a comeback and everything. Miracles happen. But right now, whatever you're doing, it ain't working. And you need to stop today.
Yeah.
Because you can't make a comeback with something that ain't right.
Okay, Unc, when you make a recommendation, you got some substance to go with that?
I have lost everything I've ever owned before. Completely went down and all the way under. When they said what they saying about Tiger, they just said it about me. Somebody sent me something the other day. Man, let me find this, what somebody sent me the other day. Just try Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it says in the Bible, oh, taste me and see that I am good. All right, well, let's go to break, and we'll come back, and maybe you'll have it by then.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with just one more thing before the break, Steve. You were trying to find a scripture that could possibly help Tiger Woods.
But it was a partner of mine, Ricky Lewis, sent this to me on Sunday. He had just come out of church. And if I could get this to Tiger Woods, it could help Tiger Woods. If I could get this to anybody out there that's struggling right now, it could help you because it helped me when I got it.
Well, please share.
He said, he called me Cy Gamma because that's where I play it. He said, Cy Gamma, in church today, this is what he said. You don't realize that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have.
Oh.
Matthew 1:18 through 25. Matthew 1:18 through. You don't realize that Jesus is all you need until you realize Jesus is all you got. See, that right there. I see, but I've been down to that point.
Plain and simple.
See, I got took down to where I had nothing except his name. That's all I had left. And buddy, let me tell you something. You gets to saying it enough times. No, it's he's listening.
And he'll do that to get your attention.
Dog. Came right through for your boy. So I was solid, man. So And I recommend that to people, too. But it's a doggone shame that you don't realize that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So what I do now is, so I ain't got to get stripped down. I know now. I just call on him when I don't need nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when the thanking come in.
Yeah. I don't wait till I need something to call him. I call him all the time.
And he's
then when
the
I need something, my voice is familiar.
That's right.
You know, it ain't so, oh, here you come now.
Here you come.
No, I'm
here. From you in a while.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, there was a song called Don't Wait Till Midnight.
Oh, man.
Talking
man.
About, you know, don't wait till that 11th that hour when you really need moment. Him to call on me, you know.
But I'm wondering if he would be open to that, if he would just be open to hearing that. I know he wasn't raised in that faith or anything like that. But at one point in time, man, that's what happens, man. You get out to nothing. And you got to do something because you got to go, why does it keep snowballing for me and it's not improving at all?
Yeah.
It's just going down the hill, going down the hill.
Downward spiral, yeah.
But man, it doesn't have to be that way for you. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. But if you're prayed up, if you stay in prayer, man, if you can just hold on to faith, God is always coming. See, this thing you're asking for, you got to quit thinking of it as denied. It's not denied. Sometimes it's delayed. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for this deal that I thought was going to happen for me last year. It still ain't happened. That don't mean it ain't going to happen.
And that doesn't mean what God is doing is just getting things in place. He's just working it out.
And if
He's not going to come down from heaven and say, here, Steve.
And especially if you got holes in your basket. See, here's the thing,
He's
folks.
God.
The stuff that you're asking God for, you got to watch, because if he gave it to you right now, could you really receive it, hold
ready?
On to it, and maintain it?
Are you ready for it? Yeah.
So a lot of times when you ask That's God true. For it, you know, man, you have to, you know, man, a lot of times when you ask God for it, you have to wait, because there's some things that have to go into place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when it goes into place, then you get it. Because it's something I've been wanting for a while now. But he won't give it to me because I got some people around me that he don't want to have it. See?
That's deep.
See, that's cold.
That's deep.
That's cold. So think about it, this in your life. Have you been asking God for something? And could it be the reason that he can't give it to you right now? Because there's somebody in your circle that would benefit from it that really shouldn't have it. Could that be? And oftentimes, that's it. If you look really, really carefully, because there's somebody in your life, man, that you've been really questioning their presence, but because you're loyal to them and you trying to be forgiven and a good friend, you oftentimes you overlook them. But if you are questioning a person's existence in your life, in your space, there's a reason why you're questioning them, and everybody got them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oprah told me that. She said, Steve, everybody got him.
Everybody got him.
She said, the president got him. Everybody got him. So who in your life is in your space and in your circle that you keep getting the feeling that you really don't need them there? Or they really don't mean you good.
That's right.
But you allow them to exist. And you know what it is? It's just because you're a decent person and you're a forgiving person.
Yeah, you got
and
a
you
heart.
Try to find the good in everybody. And you don't want to take nothing from them. You don't want to cause nobody no discomfort. But listen to me, man. If you don't prune the tree, your tree quit growing. And them bushes get wild up there.
Wow. Well, think about that if you plan on playing the Powerball.
Tonight.
Think about that.
How many do I need to play?
Saturday night's Powerball drawing did not yield a winner, pushing the drawing for tonight's jackpot, listen to this, Steve, up to a whopping $430 million.
Now, let me explain something to you.
Yes.
What?
Get together.
How much is a ticket?
It's a dollar, right?
Dollars and change.
Yeah, dollar,
something like that. So you can get
10, 15
tickets.
10? No, let's get like 1,500 tickets. Let's go.
Now, the cash value of that jackpot is tickets. Around. what are you
saying,
talking about?
People buy more than one. That was my point. Yeah.
It only takes one, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
But you got to have more shots at it.
Yeah, to beat the odds.
I need at least, man.
What, Steve?
200.
No,
what? Huh? 5,000 tickets?
I ain't mad at him about this now.
Y'all have a good weekend.
It's Wednesday, y'all.
Hump day.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.